Welcome to Paint Ed. PCA provides painting contractors with connections they need to grow their business. To find out more and to become a member, visit pcapainted.org. Find more great content like this on PCA Overdrive. A subscription to the platform is included with membership. For all of you non-members out there, sign up for a free trial. PCA Overdrive is available on the App Store and Google Play.
Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Moore, and I'm here with Nick Slavik of Nick Slavik Paint and Restoration Company, and also the host of this show here, Ask a Painter Live, where he brings his almost three decades of experience as a craftsperson, an entrepreneur, and a decent human being.
Decent human being.
To bring you guys answers to the questions that you're all over.
Mediocre free content. So all the time. So, all right, everybody, a special day here for many reasons. Number one, I am in my second hometown, New Ulm, Minnesota. It's a German town about an hour and 15 minutes away from beloved New Prague. And I am here with one of my favorite human beings on the face of the planet, Chris Moll, a fellow Minnesota painter, entrepreneur, master craftsperson. And what makes this even special is that we are in New Ulm, we are with Chris Moll, and we're doing a church restoration, our two companies together, and I could not be more delighted with this stuff. So there is 52 pews inside this church, and we're going to show you at the end of this, that Chris is going to lovingly restore as only a master craftsperson can. There's ways where you strip them, there's ways where you sand them down to bare wood, there's ways where you rub furniture polish on them. That's not how master craftspeople do it. We prep it in a way where we preserve the patina, we do a historic stain overlay, we chip the gum off.
We do
the undersides, and Chris is going to put two coats of some of the hardest, most beautiful polyurethane over the top of this to give this, give these pews, another probably 70 years of life, give or take. I don't know when the last time it was done. I'm assuming at least 30. Ours hopefully will last twice that, if people will go easy on the rivets on their jeans, I guess. So, but
They're getting more rivetier as the years.
And you get some bejeweled stuff on the pockets, and you've been here for 3 days now.
Third day, hump day, now.
Tell us what's up. Tell us what the process has been.
Well, I mean, let's go back to where you asked me about this project, and you sent me a picture of this 140-year-old church, which is unheard of in Bemidji. It's like 110 years old. And when he took pictures of this, it's something that I'm really passionate about. Being from England, and I used to restore, like, being in old churches and castles and cathedral halls and doing gilded ceilings and intricate Gothic Victorian type moldings. And the more I start looking into this place, and as I got here as well in New Ulm, this is where the Germans settled back in 1846, and it was unbelievable. And the more I started researching about this place and where Ulm came from, and New Ulm came from, it was Ulm back in Germany, and like 9 CE the Romans tried to conquer Ulm back in Germany, and they pushed them off. When I'm from Newcastle, Wall's End, which is where the Roman wall ended, and the Romans completely conquered and decimated England at the time. They couldn't get through.
Couldn't stand up to them, huh?
So 1800 years later, them Romans didn't get that German gold, and he was able to, after generations of being in Germany, able to come here in 1846 and settle with a bunch of, and created this beautiful town. And man, if you could see some of the buildings around here, and some of the mansions that you've restored, colonial style, like craftsmany masonry is just unbelievable.
Heavy masonry town, Mm-hmm. They're a river town here, and I assume they had multiple brick plants at one point. What's interesting is that I love history, I love the old houses, so do you. Mm. The town you come from in northern Minnesota is a lot younger than a lot of these old, like, center of Minnesota towns. The town I come from is old too, but what's interesting, the culture of a town dictates whether they're into historic preservation and saving what they have, quality of finishes on houses. And you can tell in New Ulm, over 180 years of history, there's a culture here of craftspersonship. There's a culture of fine craftsmanship initially and maintenance afterwards. So when you look at New Ulm, you can take, Chris and I were just looking around these neighborhoods, you could take the worst historic home on any of these streets and it would be the nicest house in our town. So you
that would look like a city hall.
Yeah, so there's like this insanely unique masonry building that would be like the nicest building on Main Street, and it's just like a random house. You can see like these beautiful like brick houses that are probably 100 to 120 years old, and they're like starter homes here. So
Churchill style.
Yeah, there's an amazing culture of preservation here. So a lot of people have known me for a long time and know that this is my second home, and I cut my teeth on Victorian mansion restorations in this town because they have more nicer Victorian mansions than we have one nicer house and it's been bastardized in my hometown. But there's more houses, I shouldn't say that. But here, there's one street where I've done six mansion restorations and they're all within about three blocks. And those houses are the nicer houses in town. But you look around any of these neighborhoods and it's just, yeah.
You must say, like, the Germans did amazing craftsmanship, you know that? They really do. And shout out to Festool, too. Another German engineering mastership. You know,
Festool hooked us up with this project too. They sent us a half a van load for the stuff, and Chris's guys are in there. I think there's three Festools working in there now with every grid of paper. And so yeah, it's been really good. We're gonna take you guys on the inside and show you around. Do us a favor. I see Phil Klein. I see Mr. McGrath. We see Aaron. We see a whole bunch of people we know here. Oscar, share this right now, guys. Get it out
there.
I know it's a midweek Ask a Painter, but. Are you kidding me? I'm going to pass up a chance to do one with Chris Moll on my home
territory. Oh, my God. So. I've been fired up all week, honestly, man. We got you on Sunday, and then it's now Wednesday. We smoked the Monday and Tuesday, and then this Wednesday we kicked off at a great start. And, amazing people to work with, your project manager, yourself. I mean, checking in on us every single day. Yeah, we're creating, created a project plan for us beforehand and wrote it out. Just so detailed and personal, and like ever had a thing for you know Nick Slavik and his SOP. So he had that, and then when we got there, and then you find out there's a, and then I start creating production rates for pews because we've never had production rates.
We don't have a developed set of those in our company.
So it's only SOP that Nick Slavik doesn't have, and I'm really proud to announce that I am going to be the one that is
the foundation,
grandfather of the historic 140-year-old historic pew restoration.
And so what's interesting is that like there's, when you think about SOPs, like there's SOPs that are more theoretical and there's SOPs that are more exacting and detailed. So if you think about how to paint the walls in a bedroom, that has been honed to within an inch of its life. There is, yes, a wall might be 6 inches larger, or there might be a dartboard wall with holes, but that is so minor. When we think about a Victorian mansion restoration, that was an aggressive sneeze. When you think about a Victorian mansion restoration or something like this, where even if we did six pew projects a year, it's likely that they're going to be just enough different where they're going to be slightly different data sets. So there's a thing that we practice, which is like theoretical project or theoretical SOPs, which is we know exactly the steps to restore a Victorian mansion. We just have to adapt it more than we do a bedroom. So we adapt a bedroom SOP, a wall thing, 3% for that. We adapt a church one. We adapt a historic restoration, 20 to 30% because there's that much variability. Now, if we only restored church pews, I could tell you down to the second how long stuff would take.
Because I know I would take one out. 2 foot of space and big old English booty going on there, and it's a rough one. You know what I mean?
You and I aren't svelte guys anymore. We got to kind of shimmy through these pews and stuff.
I know. So. I heard a couple of wisecrack jokes on some one of my apprentices today and said something about a beer belly. I don't know. You must have been talking about Nick.
You and I don't care for the taste of beer, but that's fine. So, so we are going to take you guys through, but I think it's hard to express because we're sitting here, you can only see what's behind us. I think it's really hard to express how meaningful this town is, how meaningful this relationship is, and to get to do historic restoration together this is the highest realization of our craft.
Yeah.
And when we both have big professional businesses, we can pair them up together and do amazing things for people. And the most interesting thing is what makes Chris Moll one of the most uniquely qualified humans to do this on earth is it's not good enough for a project like this to just paint it well, just see it well.
Yeah.
You need to manage the relationship like a politician here. Like we have a whole volunteer, retired master craftsperson board of directors and grounds committee for this. And these people have known me for 16 years. In fact, the mug lady, her husband is the one kind of overseeing the grounds of this project.
He's the clock watcher. Yeah. There's a 140-year-old clock that's in here, right up there. I don't know if you can even see this thing. It has like this engine with pendulums in that's been lovingly restored. And he has got the title of being the clock watcher.
Master of the clock.
Yeah, the master of the clock. And he took me up there and showed me it. And he is passionate about this stuff also. He took me around a couple of these old colonial 140-year-old houses. I mean, I'll be putting them on Facebook and stuff too, but it's like this plaques of like these mules, and it's like Alvin and
chiseled into stone and masonry.
From 1893 and stuff, and it's like unbelievable.
Other town, that would be a thing that you put in the town hall as like, we found this one thing. Every single house here is beautiful. Like he showed you one house that's for a dollar. They're going to tear it down or move it. It is a perfectly preserved 110-year-old time capsule. The woodwork is in perfect condition. Never been
hardware
painted. All the hardware, never been messed with. Hardwood floors, never been carpeted. Not never. They're not carpeted over now. But that tells you, like, this literally would be a time capsule and the hallmark of a town's historic section. And here, it's a house they're going to tear down or something, because there are so many of them here. So it's just the economy, and it is what it is. But
it's heartbreaking. Yeah.
But maintaining that relationship is a big thing. And the most important part about that is these are discerning people. The first time this project was discussed was somewhere between 2 and 3 years ago. And that's how long it takes to incubate these things. Because if you want to talk about trust, like, these people vetted me for 10 years. They watched me restore 7 Victorian mansions. I come back and do work here in this town every year. And finally, after a decade of proving myself, they allowed me to estimate this thing. And then Chris has been proving himself all these years. And together, what makes Chris uniquely qualified is these pews are going to have the best finish of any pews in Minnesota. Also, he adds value to the relationship. The board, because we all can't be here all the time, Chris is the lightning rod for this thing, and his passion shows through, and these people love it. Instead of them constantly questioning us, kicking the door open, putting things under the microscope, Chris is literally there ensuring them, gaining their trust, and doing one of these, like, you are in good hands. Yep. And he backs it up with his actions. So this is like, it is the hardest thing on earth. Just being a happy guy, loving your job, does not make you good at this. You need to be something of an outlier to not only do the craft, but to do this. And this is what we strive for, man. Like, this is what we work so hard for. So the ultimate realization of this craft is 50% relationship, 50% amazing craft work. So, you guys want to go see the church?
Yeah. So one site, I must add as well, one site is 140-year-old, same as the beams as well. All one piece that holds this big thing up.
Yeah.
Like, unbelievable, right? Yeah. Slate, proper slate roof, masonry work, here, big arches. And then one side, because this church is smaller, one side was 140-year-old original, and then the other side was 70, they're about 70 years old.
Yep.
So, yeah.
So you can see, and then this is a very progressive congregation, because look at this. This is all new construction over here. They have meeting halls, schools, everything else too. So this is like, these people are serious here. I mean, this is running and maintaining this church is a business. So it's, it's a beautiful thing. So yeah, let's walk around the side and, let's get back in there and see what we can do. So yeah. And so you'll be here. We asked the church for 3 weeks just in case. We planned for 2 weeks, and Chris's project plan is about a week and a half or something like that. So, a little birdie.
I'll be back on Monday to paper bag and be prep.
Yep. Yeah, so, and we should say before we walk in there, because there's going to be Buzz and Sanders. Chris, just give us the quick 5-step or 4-step process that we're going to be doing to these pews. Like, just real round
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so first thing, floor covering.
Yep.
Next thing was cleaning all of the hand oils and grease off the top.
Yeah.
Next thing, I went around and puttied certain holes because they took the prayer book thing off as well.
Oh, so they took the hymnal holders and hymnal then they had holder, to fill the holes. Yep.
Filled the holes on them.
Yep.
And then we came back the next day, sanded everything, cleaned it. There's some like splinters on the side, so we would it burned through, and then we rubbed stain into it.
Yep.
And into all of these and sort of like melded it all together. Some sites got a full coat of stain, really yeah. thin coat, and some just got little touch-ups here and there. So it was like, we shone.
But that's where Master Craftsman comes in, because they put in some new wood plugs to cover screws. They sanded some edges. There's parts that have been worn naturally, and it takes yeah. a Master Craftsperson to delicately apply stain to where it's needed and not to where it's not, and then to make yep. everything look good again. And there's going to be some pews in there that we call like dusty pews, right? Mm-hmm. And so there are pews that have, you know, a sanded finish, and it's a little bit burnt, and there's like, you can just tell it's just like not there. And then you can see the section that Chris hand stained, and mm-hmm. it's literally like breathes the life back into it. And yeah, it's a very simple, overlooked historic restoration technique that in my company we call stain overlay, which is yep. just delicately applying, because people think you have to take 80 grit sandpaper, get it all down to bare wood,
yeah, and but pile it on with a brush and then yeah, exactly. mop it off, and then
but you lose the patina. And exactly. the point is, these pews have been here forever. When I restore an antique, when I restore like woodwork in a house, I don't want to get rid of that 140 years of no. age. That's what makes it beautiful. I don't want bright new fir, pink fir wood. We want to preserve that, but we also want to enhance it.
Yeah.
So like, respect the old, but give highly technologically advanced coatings. So let's give the people what they want, Chris. We'll do a quick look in here. And it's going to be a little loud because of all the sanding going on. It's a big cavernous place too. So when we get in there, I don't know if you're going to be able to hear us, but we will give it our best here. So walking through the, I think there's about a 25-year-old section of the church here. We'll go in through some doors. That's old history there. The church is just awesome. Just awesome. They got amazing group of parishioners here too. It's just, yeah, these people care about this building in a big way. So started off a long time ago with, you know, years and years ago, starting on this, updating the estimate, getting the scope, raising the money. And they actually had some loose pews out here. And me and project manager Mike came down here. We did our final consultation. We did two different stain matches, one for the hymnals that they're going to put on, the new ones, and one for the pews. We did a finish and adhesion check, and everything checked off. The parishioners loved the finish, and the adhesion was great. And so now we rock and roll. But that's the due diligence that a Master Craftsperson will do. So, lay of the land here. Let's walk up to the front and show people the scope of this thing. So we got Chris's crafts people right here, festooling. Look at that. Beautiful, beautiful. Look at this place. It's absolutely amazing. So, Chris. Oh, yeah, we should show them. So what Chris did, there's four loose pews in this church. So what he did was, he initially got here and started, he wanted to feel the process, feel the finish like we always do. And so he came here, he prepped them all the way, and he's got one coat on this now. And I want to show you this finish. Like, this literally just give me like shivers looking at it, Chris. Like, it is yeah. so beautiful.
The second one's going to really bring it out. Just give it a nice little scuff for the next one. And
That is just, yeah. Man, that makes a craftsperson happy right there. So, yep. So these guys are working on sanding. It looks like they're going front to back. And then what's been done to this other section over here, Chris?
So that's the one I was explaining. There's more really clean, sanded, touched
up a little bit. Yep. So you can see that the parishioners got in here and they re-secured some of the benches. And they put some wood plugs in here, and Chris is going by and stain matching a lot of those things to blend them in. And, you know, you can, with all the foot traffic and stuff, these get real burnt on the edges here. So,
this is where it was all burnt down.
Oh, yeah. So the guys actually got in here and sanded down all the edges. And then Chris came in here and reworked them. So what I want to show you is the difference between a dry or dusty pew and then one that Chris has worked over. So if you think about this, look at this one here. Not bad, right? But it's got some light edges. There's a little bit of sanding dust on it, things like that. Not the end of the world, but now look at something like this. Rich, beautiful, all stain match, ready to go, and all the plugs stain match. And look at this here. So this is just with stain.
These are the 140-year-old. So this is all original patina from over the years, the last 140 years. It's the same age as what these beams are.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing.
They used to soak them in water and bend them. Like, it's unbelievable looking up here and thinking that, like, these are from when the Germans settled in the Gantt.
Yep.
All of this stained glass, I know you can't see it now because of the plastic that's up there. Phenomenal painting, the stained glass. Big organ at the back there, too.
Yep.
Like, this is a beautiful.
It's as good as it gets, man. And you can see that Chris erected some protection up front. We're basically just, I mean, you're not going to stop. There's so much volume of air in here. You're not going to stop it, but we got the fans running there. We're doing some basic protection of the walls. I mean, that's like a no-nonsense thing. We are going to create a little bit of dust, but you can see Chris lovingly wrapped the balcony, the choir loft down below, and the walls here secured up on these beautiful beams. And to try to, the dust typically, when you sand and do stuff like this, it doesn't billow up and go over. It tends, dust is heavy, so it'll tend to settle a little bit and go down. So if we have 12 foot and with the risers 14 foot protection, that's going to stop 99% of the dust migrating. But also, the person has got in here and covered everything with plastic. Like organs and altars and things like that. This half is ready for top coat one. This half is being SVT'd and almost ready for top coat. You're going to do some stain overlay here.
Yep.
And then basically, I think your plan is like what? You're going to do a
first coat on this when these guys are staining this.
Yep.
We'll figure it out as we go. And then I'm going to first coat this. And if I can get a first coat on this side tonight, it'll be magic. If not, it'll be a tomorrow job. And then final this one. I'll come in on Friday and final this side. And then we'll come back on Monday and I'll brown bag it and check over everything. And whenever you're happy and the client's happy.
Whenever God's happy.
There you go. That's the thing as well, you know, being in the church every day. It's like,
We got the A number one project manager right there looking over. I don't need to manage this at all. Chris has got this.
The mural up at the top there and that old Cadillac pink. With the dove there and
love that.
It's unbelievable.
So beautiful, man.
Yeah.
So beautiful. All right, well, Chris, any final words here before we hit her?
No, I just wanted to let everyone know that relationships are absolutely massive.
The best.
And creating like a success story for yourself. So I appreciate your trust on being able to allowing us to come here and trusting us to be able to do the very best that we can for these great people in New Orleans.
I know. It's the greatest, man. And to be able to touch something this old, work on it together, and really deliver to these people the world-class experience and the craft. Like, it's a whole bunch of simple things done really well. And you and I both believe deeply in our hearts that a hallmark of a master craftsperson is constantly pushing the quality of a finish and constantly pushing how productive you can be too. And third one, teaching young people.
Yeah.
That is the hallmark of a master craftsperson.
Yeah.
The easiest thing on earth for you and me to do is to crush budgets and do 98 out of 100 finishes, right?
Well, it's a dying over and over, you know? There's no apprenticeship programs like they do have back in England, you know?
Yeah.
There's people that don't really, like, especially in the area that we're from, nobody really cares about painting and restoration. They really don't. Like, you'd start talking about like oil primer, and they're like, you really like paint, don't you? It's like, yeah, I'm sorry, like, apologizing for it, you know? But it's like, you come to places like this, and it's like, oh, wow. And then you see people that aren't, like, culturally involved around this, and they are so passionate, and they love this, man, and they talk about it, and they absolutely love it, and it's great to get other people passionate within the trade within history.
You talk about relationships. I've been following along with your Jared for years now. This is like, it's so awesome.
To
get to know our people and stuff. Like, you know intimately our people. You've been to my damn Christmas party.
Yep.
So, oops, sorry. You've been to my gosh darn. I feel hot. Did you feel hot? I want to show you guys. We're going to show the young budding craftspeople here. So, see, SVT, you can see the little bit of sanding dust. Most of it comes up on in the fest tools, but you're always going to have something left over.
If you're doing a perfect amount, that they're not burning yep. go through any old finish,
nope.
that it's very minor. See how
here? Yep.
Pre-sanded, all of the splinters that happened over 100 years, you know.
And that's what parishioners did, all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
they were... Typically, restorationists were very careful not to burn through some of that stuff. The parishioners were really worried about splinters, so they did that. So in order to bring that back up to speed, Chris is going to do that stain overlay. So,
yeah,
yep.
yeah and it's
but
less is more. It's
this
very,
is a,
very minor.
This little dial here, this is a perfect indication of what we're talking about with stain overlay, which is it gets a little crispy, it gets a little dry, and you rub a little stain in there, and you get... These guys are doing amazing work. So, all right, everybody. Yeah. yeah. And we were, Chris, we were discussing here, all the undersides of these pews have to get varnished. And guess who's not going to be doing that? We got a couple young trainees and apprentices right there that they're going to be cutting their teeth on some spraying time underneath these things. So yeah. Oh, last thing, we got to show them the gum, and then we're out of here. So, Chris, Chris literally did. I'm trying to find a non-religious metaphor. I was going to say he's doing the Lord's work, but we're in the house of the Lord. So, Chris went under, and by the, oh, I can't get too close to that. In the goodness of his heart, he scraped all this gum off of the underside of these pews, like. So when you showed me this thing, there was one very disturbing piece in there. It was
that
pure black.
Brown.
Well, that
yeah,
brown, that one pulled some finish off. But there's a black piece in there. Like, I only know of one.
Off.
It's like, that's a good piece of gum. That one pulled some finish off on that one. That's got some wood fibers in it. So.
Oh, my gosh. There's hairs in there and everything. Yeah, the thing about this, it took us 2.1 hours with three people.
See, production rates.
There's some production rates on scraping gum up the bottom of 50-some pews. So we scrape it all, and then I have this vacuum over there that's a cordless vacuum, a Milwaukee cordless, and I emptied it all out and cleaned it out so then I could pack this up, and I might epoxy it or something. Or maybe this could be like an accountability pot right here, because it's $20 to get a DNA test, and I wonder how many people are going to feel... How they're going to feel when they get a letter in the mail here.
We got a lot of DNA tests to do. So, no, what I think would be a good tribute, you're the epoxy master. You put that sucker in epoxy, set it on your desk, and it's a daily reminder of all the things that you didn't do right, that you hid, and 50 years later came up to haunt you again. An accumulation of all the things you thought
like
went
that.
Away.
That's
it's very
really,
metaphorical here. So.
It is, yeah. No, I think I'll
Have
do
you
that.
Guys ever seen anything like that?
That's rough, like.
Dude, it's got to be 50, 60 years worth of gum.
Do you know what was weird about it is that this one right here had none under. And this is being, so absolutely.
The third one?
Yeah.
All right, so St. Paul's Lutheran in New Ulm, if you are a frequenter of the third pew back there, hats off.
No, this one, the second one.
Oh, the second one here. If you are the frequenter of second from the front row at St. Paul's Lutheran, hats off to you. Your family has for five decades restrained yourselves and not stuck gum to the underside of this. So,
yeah, that's a lot though. All the rest of them, the outfit,
dude, that
something
is
else.
Wild.
But I'm gonna epoxy it. I really am.
You have to, man.
And epoxy
is...
it, plaque it at the back, and maybe wear it around my neck with a spinner.
Like
on
a big
it.
Medallion. Dude, that is incredible, though. Like, that alone is worth it. You set it a little too close to your food, too. I would back that off a little bit.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Chris, you're the man. I love doing this with you. I'm so glad we're doing this together.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let these... Oh, I'm not standing on your toe. I'm standing on a cord. I'm going to let you get back to work. I got to head off. And, dude...
Put some staining to get done, man.
Love you, buddy.
Yeah. You're the best, man. I love you,
Nick. Absolutely love this.
See you guys. Paynet podcasts are produced by the Painting Contractors Association and are made possible by members and industry partners. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org.